And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that every word that be said would be a glory to you, that we not change one dot, one cross T, one tittle, nothing, Lord, that we be very careful to stay true to your word, and that new truth from Daniel's promise would come forth, Lord, that we would know as heirs to your kingdom that we are in an exciting time. Open our minds to the truth that we need to see before us, and let us be strong and bold to say it. And we love you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome to continuing on in Revelation. For those of you who have not been here, I'm going to do a really quick review. I promise I won't bore you. Maybe I will a little, but I try not to. Revelation is the last book of the Bible, last book of 66 books in the canon of the Holy Bible. It was written by John the Beloved, the only New Testament disciple that was called the Beloved of Jesus. In fact, often John would refer to himself as the one whom Jesus loved, as even not saying his own name. John, we know, was the only disciple of the 12 who was not martyred. We know that because he's writing from the Isle of Patmos under the dominion of Domitian, who, according to Josephus, the ancient Jewish historian, ruled about 95-96 AD. John is, we gather, right at 100 years old at this point. Now, do the math. He was probably about Jesus' age or a little younger. This is in 96 AD, 97 AD, 96-7 AD. At 60-some years past Jesus, he was 20, 30, he's 80, 90, 100. We don't know for sure because they didn't give the disciples ages. We know of the disciples, he's the youngest. He's still alive on the Isle of Patmos after rumor has it and history has it that he got so ingrained in telling God's story and the resurrection story that the Roman emperors several times tried to kill him. The last one tried to boil him in oil. It didn't work. So they sentenced him to the rock quarry at Patmos. If you know anything about the Isle of Patmos at that time, it was a dry island with no fresh water. Almost a death sentence. Every bit of water that was drank or used, what they had no desalination plants, of course, then, was hauled in by boat. If they really didn't like a prisoner, they just didn't bring him any water. And therefore, I think Domitian decided that would be one way to get rid of John, just put him on Patmos, put him in the rock quarry. He's 96, 97 years old, put him in the rock quarry. And what does God do? He steps up and he said, I love you, John. Come up. We're going to see in chapter 4, God calls him to heaven and he gets to see the throne room of God. This is the Beloved of Jesus. Why are we surprised by this? Why are we surprised that the Beloved of God in the Old Testament, Daniel, got to see the same thing? Why are we surprised? We're not. Let me tell you something else about the structure of the Bible. You know this. This is all review. About 200 years into Jesus, after he had lived, and they were having all their meetings, and they were putting together the epistles, and they were adding the Old Testament canon, they decided it was too hard to figure out where you were when you were studying, so they made chapters and verses. This was not thus saith the Lord. This was a group of men that decided it would make it easier. I really am glad they did. They messed up with chapter 4 and 5 of Revelation. They should not have been a division. We're going to scoot right on in. We're going to read one. They're both kind of short. They're both the same story. Because we're going to enter the throne room of God, and we're going to see the paradox of all centuries happen, where John's going to see a little baby slain sacrificed lamb. How do I know that? Because the Greek word that's used for lamb is not the big mother. It's the baby lamb. It's the baby. And how do I know what it's going to look like? Its throat is cut. And I don't mean to be graphic or gross, but it was slain. And that's how the elders and the priests slayed the lamb. They cut their throats. So when John first is taken up into the throne, he's going to see a baby lamb. Figurative, but I don't believe figurative anymore. I believe it's literal. I believe he sees the baby lamb with a throat cut, and it turns into the Lion of Judah. Paradox deluxe. You want to see the mystery of God, the magnitude of God, and the spectacular ideas God has. He takes a slain lamb and makes him a Lion of Judah who no one can defeat. And that's who's coming back in the 22nd chapter. So we're looking at the format of Revelation. And I told you a couple of weeks ago, and I may have told you last week, because you're probably going to get tired of me and say, oh, she's a broken record. But here's the story. John's taken up, and he's given this vision. And basically, it is because it is an answer to all of the rest of the history of the Bible. It answers every prophecy, Joel and Habakkuk and Isaiah. It answers every prophecy that anyone ever whispered or spoken about in the Old Testament. And you wonder, when is that going to happen? You know, when is Damascus going to be destroyed in one day? When is that? And you're going to look, and if God hadn't given us the book of Revelation through John, he would have left all these loose ends. And he doesn't. This is not the God we serve. We serve a sovereign God. I'm going to tell you also, and you know this story, I don't like some of the things that happen in this book. I don't have to. It's not my story. I don't like that 2/3 of the Jews are going to be destroyed to come around to God. I don't like that. I wish it weren't that true. I wish they would have loved him and that they saw him and worshiped him. They didn't. 2,000 years they've had a blindness put upon them. According to Luke 21, he put a blindness upon them. And until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, and by the way, that's you and me. We're not very Jewish. Until that comes, according to Luke, they're blind. They're blinded. Do you know how many Jews have died and gone to hell in those 2,000 years? I don't even want to think about it. But the reality of God's story is this. He loves them so much that not only did he send his son, and he forgave them for not taking his son, he's going to give them one last chance in the tribulation. The tribulation is not for us. For the Jews. This is his chosen people that he promised to Abraham would be a covenant for generations and generations never to end. And God is the God of his word. He won't change his word even for the headstrong, bullheaded, stiff-necked Jews. And he calls them that many times. But he still promised it. He does Revelation and the tribulation to fulfill his promise. And throughout all these rest of these chapters from 4 on, we are going to see that we are gone. I spent 2 weeks trying to convince you that we're going to get raptured. And if I didn't do that, you might as well fire me. I didn't do a very good job. I'm sold on that. And I think I've got 100 verses to back that up. But nevertheless, we're going on from there. We're raptured out. 4 to 22, we're going to see the panoramic view of history unfold. And every prophecy that's not been fulfilled is going to be happening in this future time. So what we are going to be is invited to a front row seat on a higher level of the theater to watch the events. Why do we study it? God said we'd get a blessing if we do. The very first chapter, he says, anyone who reads this book and studies it, I want a blessing. Do you know what I read every morning when I get up? I'm pretty selfish. Thinking, here's the blessing. And I think we just have to take him literally. Did he say it? Absolutely. Does he mean it? Sure. The rest of the story is why we read it. I hope you're secure where you're going to be. I hope you've asked Jesus in your heart. You know without a doubt that if he shouted, Michael shouted, and the trumpet blasted, I hope we know. If we hear that, I hope you're going. I hope you know that. If you don't, see me. Let's get that settled. Because if you do, the rest of this is going to be a theater viewing for you. You are invited to the best theater view there's going to be. You want to talk about sci-fi? You want to talk about X-Men and special effects? Open up Revelation 4 on. That's where we're at. We have to start somewhere. So we're going to start in the throne room. And you'll hear, this is the canned phrase, oh, no one can see God and live. Well, that's not exactly true. We're going to see that John, even though he's really old, is called up to the throne room of God. He sees the slain lamb who turns into the lion of Judah. Remember, I told you about the paradox. But he sees, gets a real good glimpse of God the Father. Now, you're going to hear on the internet, if you do any studying at all, believe me, I've heard them all, God does not have a body. He's not a being. Well, who were we made to look like then? That makes God a liar. He made us in his image. And I don't know, I don't really look like a waving waft of light or something. I do think he's lots of light. I do think he's lots of fire. I do think he's more than we can imagine. We talked last week that maybe 10, 12 dimensions. I think it's limitless dimensions on God. Chuck Missler said that if he could imagine 10 dimensions when he had his